Chapter 24. What is Christ doing now? The subject of the sanctuary unlocked the mystery of the disappointment. It opened to view a complete system of truth, connected and harmonious, showing that God's hand had directed the great Advent movement. Those who had looked in faith for his second coming expected him to appear in glory. But as their hopes were disappointed, they had lost sight of Jesus. Now in the Holy of Holies, they again beheld their high priest, soon to appear as king and deliverer. Light from the sanctuary illumined the past, the present, and the future. Though they had failed to understand the message which they bore, yet it had been correct. The mistake had not been in the reckoning of the prophetic periods, but in the event to take place at the end of the 2,300 days. Yet all that was foretold by the prophecy had been accomplished. Christ had come not to the earth, but to the most holy place of the temple in heaven. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came not to the earth, but to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Daniel 7, verse 13. This coming was foretold also by Malachi. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3, verse 1. The coming of the Lord to his temple was sudden, unexpected to his people. They were not looking for him there. The people were not yet ready to meet their Lord. There was still a work of preparation to be accomplished for them. As they should by faith follow their high priest in his ministration, new duties would be revealed. Another message was to be given to the church. Who shall stand? Says the prophet, who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3, verse 2, 3. Those living on earth when the intercession of Christ shall cease are to stand in the sight of God without a mediator. Their robes must be spotless, their characters purified from sin by the blood of sprinkling. Through the grace of God and their own diligent effort, they must be conquerors in the battle with evil. While the investigative judgment is going forward in heaven, while the sins of penitent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of putting away sin among God's people on earth. This work is presented in the message of Revelation 14. When this work shall have been accomplished, the followers of Christ will be ready for his appearing. Then the church which our Lord at his coming is to receive will be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5, verse 27. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The coming of Christ as high priest to the most holy place for the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8, verse 14, the coming of the Son of Man to the Ancient of Days, Daniel 7, verse 13, and the coming of the Lord to his temple, Malachi 3, verse 1, are the same event. This is also represented by the coming of the bridegroom to the marriage in the parable of the 10 virgins of Matthew 25. In the parable, when the bridegroom came, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. This coming of the bridegroom takes place before the marriage. The marriage represents the reception by Christ of his kingdom. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, the capital and representative of the kingdom, is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. Said the angel to John, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the Spirit, says the prophet, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Revelation 21, verse 9-10. The bride represents the holy city, and the virgins that go out to meet the bridegroom are a symbol of the church. In the Revelation, the people of God are said to be guests at the marriage supper. If guests, they cannot be the bride. Christ will receive from the Ancient of Days in heaven dominion and glory and a kingdom, the New Jerusalem, the capital of his kingdom, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Having received the kingdom, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for the redemption of his people, who are to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Daniel 7, verse 14, Revelation 21, verse 2. Waiting for their Lord.
The proclamation, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," led thousands to expect the immediate advent of the Lord. At the appointed time, the bridegroom came, not to the earth, but to the Ancient of Days in heaven, to the marriage, the reception of his kingdom. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They were not to be present in person, for they are on the earth. The followers of Christ are to wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding. Luke 12, verse 36. But they are to understand his work and follow him by faith. In this sense, they are said to go in to the marriage. In the parable, those that had oil in their lamps went in to the marriage. Those who, in the night of their bitter trial, had patiently waited, searching the Bible for clearer light, these saw the truth concerning the sanctuary in heaven and the Savior's change of ministration. By faith, they followed him in his work in the sanctuary above. And all who accept the same truths, following Christ by faith as he performs the last work of mediation, go in to the marriage. Closing, work in the sanctuary. In the parable of Matthew 22, the judgment takes place before the marriage. Previous to the wedding, the king comes in to see if all the guests are attired in the wedding garment, the spotless robe of character washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, verse 14. All who, upon examination, are seen to have the wedding garment on, are accepted and accounted worthy of a share in God's kingdom and a seat upon his throne. This work of examination of character is the investigative judgment, the closing work in the sanctuary above. When the cases of those who in all ages have professed Christ have been examined and decided, then probation will close and the door of mercy will be shut. Thus, in one short sentence, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We are carried down to the time when the great work for man's salvation shall be completed. In the earthly sanctuary, when the high priest on the Day of Atonement entered the most holy place, the ministration in the first apartment ceased. So when Christ entered the Holy of Holies to perform the closing work of the atonement, he ceased his ministry in the first apartment. Then the ministry in the second apartment began. Christ had completed only one part of his work as our intercessor, to enter upon another portion of the work. He still pleaded his blood before the Father in behalf of sinners. While it is true that that door of hope and mercy by which men had for 1800 years found access to God was closed, another door was opened. Forgiveness of sins was offered through the intercession of Christ in the Most Holy. There was still an open door to the heavenly sanctuary where Christ was ministering in the sinner's behalf. Now was seen the application of those words of Christ in the Revelation, addressed to this very time. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Revelation 3, verse 7, 8. Those who by faith follow Jesus in the great work of the atonement receive the benefits of his mediation, while those who reject the light are not benefited thereby. The Jews who refused to believe on Christ as Savior could not receive pardon through him. When Jesus, at his ascension, entered the heavenly sanctuary to shed upon his disciples the blessings of his mediation, the Jews were left in total darkness to continue their useless sacrifices and offerings. The door by which men had formerly found access to God was no longer open. The Jews had refused to seek him in the only way he could then be found, through the sanctuary in heaven. The unbelieving Jews illustrate the careless and unbelieving among professed Christians who are willingly ignorant of the work of our high priest. In the typical service, when the high priest entered the most holy place, all Israel were required to gather about the sanctuary and humble their souls before God, that they might receive pardon of sins and not be cut off from the congregation. How much more essential in this anti-typical Day of Atonement that we understand the work of our high priest and know what duties are required of us.
A message was sent from heaven to the world in Noah's day, and their salvation depended on how they treated that message. Genesis 6, verse 6 to 9, Hebrews 11, verse 7. In the time of Sodom, all but Lot with his wife and two daughters were consumed by fire sent down from heaven. Genesis 19. So, in the days of Christ, the Son of God declared to the unbelieving Jews, "Your house is left unto you desolate." Matthew 23, verse 38. Looking down to the last days, the same infinite power declares concerning those who received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 and 11. As they reject the teachings of his word, God withdraws his spirit and leaves them to the deceptions which they love. But Christ still intercedes in man's behalf, and light will be given those who seek it. The passing of the time in 1844 was followed by great trial to those who held the Advent faith. Their only relief was the light which directed their minds to the sanctuary above. As they waited and prayed, they saw that their great high priest had entered upon another work of ministration. Following him by faith, they were led to see also the closing work of the church. They had a clearer understanding of the first and second angels' messages, and were prepared to receive and give to the world the solemn warning of the third angel of Revelation 14.